The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 9. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on June 13th, 2011, in Lanesha, South Africa.
Some people say that Bhagavad Gita is preliminary knowledge. We have to go to more esoteric teachings. But Krishna doesn't agree with that. Krishna says, Raja Vidya, this is the topmost knowledge. He says, Jnanam teham savijnanam vidam vaksham yasheshataha yat gyatva neham bhuyo nyas gyatva jamma visheshvate. He says, now I will declare to you this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So this is not just some introductory, it is introductory level. But actually, if you actually understand what Bhagavad Gita is talking about, it contains all the highest truths within Bhagavad Gita. So tonight we're going to study in chapter number 4. Let's see, what is that verse? What is that verse number? Janma karma chame divyam. What is that sloka number?
9.
Let's see here, it should be in chapter 4, text
9.
Yeah. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Evam yo veti tatvataha.
Chaktva dehaṁ punar janma.
Chaktva dehaṁ punar janma.
Naitimam iti sorjana.
Naitimam iti sorjana.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the 6th verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve merging into the impersonal Brahma-jyoti of the Lord is only partial, and there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, adaitam, achyutam, anadam, anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko devo nitya lila nurakto bhaktya vapi hirijantar atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with His unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita, personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this trust on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly. And consequently, his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. And this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion: Tam eva viditvati mrityum eti nanya panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to attain this perfection. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8. That there is no alternative means That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand the Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotees of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Write down your questions as I'm speaking the lecture, and then at the end you can pass them forward and I'll answer your questions. So, this is a very nice point. What is the position of the mental speculators? They're simply licking the outside of the bottle of honey. They think they are very advanced. They think all these bhaktas, they're not very intelligent. They're just chanting. They just have faith, you see. I'm an advanced scholar in Vedic wisdom, you see. Just like they criticize Lord Chaitanya. What is this sannyasi simply chanting and dancing, you see? What is kind of sannyasi is this, you see? He's not very high-level sannyasi. So these big, big scholars may be very proud of their erudite knowledge, you see, talking about this thing and that thing with big, 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 big words. But they cannot capture Krishna. They may capture a big title, PhD, but they cannot capture Krishna. You see. They may capture many disciples also, you see, by big, big words. But they cannot capture Krishna. If you want to capture Krishna, then you have to understand what he's saying here in the Bhagavad Gita. You simply have to know his transcendental nature. Krishna is not born. He is Ajah. He is unborn. But he appears to take birth to bless us with his divine Sangha. This is the great kindness of Krishna. Even though it is said, Paritanaya sadhanam vinashayata duskritam, that he appears to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. Does he really have to come to annihilate the miscreants? No. He can easily do it with, you know, war, or, you know, just like that big tornado that just hit the U.S. 150 people were killed. A tornado come through one town. 150 people were dead. Within a few minutes, 150 people were dead. You see? Just a whirlwind coming through the town. You see? Or what is big of these big tsunamis, you see? Krishna can easily kill millions of people in a second if he wants, through natural disasters or war or like the terror, like 9/11, you know, 3,000 people killed within a few minutes, you see. Krishna can easily arrange. He doesn't have to personally come to kill the demon. So when Krishna comes, he's actually coming just to favor his devotees. So of course, sometimes he will come to kill the demon just to give pleasure to his devotee. You see? It's like he came to kill that Hiranyakashipu. You see? Just to show Prahlad, I will kill your torturer right in front of you. You see? You've been very much tortured, and I will come just to please you. I will cure your torture, right? So you can see me kill your torturer. You see? So he did it to please his devotee. He didn't do it that he had to personally kill Hiranyakashipu. You see? So we have to understand when Krishna appears, it is simply for the purpose of blessing his devotees and attracting people to become his devotees. He comes to show us his braj pastimes, you see. In this world, he demonstrates the braj pastimes just to attract our hearts. These amazing pastimes. Krishna, the Radha, the gopis, Vrindavan, Jamuna, Vrindavan forest. So amazing pastimes. It's just amazing how it's really amazing how he captured the hearts of the gopis. And just by standing there and playing his flute, that's all he had to do. Just by standing there and playing his flute. In the moonlit night of the Sharad season on the bank of the Jamuna and Keshi got completely carried away the gopis. You see. In fact, he carried away the gopis so much that one gopi, she warned her gopi girlfriend, Smaran bangi traya parachitam sachivistirna nishtrim vangshi nishtadaram kishilayam ujvalam trandarkena govindyakam haritanamitaha Keshi Tirtha Pukante Ma Preksha Shustava Yadi Sake Bandhu Stangasi Rangaha. She said, my dear gopi girlfriend, if you are all attached to material society and friendship and love, then don't you dare go tonight to the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat and see the smiling face of that boy Govinda. Don't you dare go down there to Keshi Ghat tonight, my dear gopi girlfriend. Because that boy, he's standing there, he's casting sidelong glances, you see. He's putting his flute to his lips, which are just like newly blossomed twigs. his transcendental body bending in three places is very bright in the moonlight. So don't you dare go down there. Don't you dare go, you see. So you can just imagine these amazing pastimes, you see. These amazing activities of Krishna, you see. How he would play with his cowherd. He would play with the cowherd boys by night and play with the cowherd by day and the cowherd girls by night. And when did he ever sleep? Krishna doesn't have to sleep. He's not like us. He doesn't have bodies, like tamasic bodies like we do. They have to sleep. If he sleeps, it's just for fun. He doesn't have to sleep. He's just engaged in having a great time, you know, playing his flute, playing with the cowherd boys, playing with the cowherd girls, doing mischief. There's that pastime when the little boy, he wanted some pearls, and he wanted to plant some pearls. Mother just said, what is this nonsense? You can't grow pearls. But he did it. He planted pearls, and they came out. He grew pearls. You see? The gopis tried to do it, and they couldn't do it. You see? So many amazing pastimes. You see? Why all these amazing pastimes Krishna showed you actually is attracting us to come back, you see. We are all originally inhabitants of the spiritual world. Did you know that? You're actually from the spiritual world. You're not from South Africa. You're actually from the spiritual world. You just forgot. Prabhupada talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, Swarup Siddhi. You have a Swarup, every one of us. We have some identity in one of the five rasas in the spiritual world. We all have it. We just forgot, that's it. We can't really think about it now. It's way beyond our reach. Prabhupada said we can't really talk about it now in our conditioned state. But that day will come. Right now, Prabhupada actually, in one letter, he said like this, just like a university student, you see, he takes all the required courses. He goes through all the required courses to get his basic curriculum. And then he chooses his major. At an advanced stage, he takes a particular field and he specializes in that. So Prabhupada compared that. Right now we're doing the preliminary thing in his sadhana bhakti. So they reach a point where you actually enter into one of those relationships. Prabhupada said we cannot talk about it now, really. We can't discuss it because it's so far beyond our comprehension. But he compared it to a college student, you know, going through the basic curriculum and then choosing a major. We'll actually come to a point where we become completely purified. We will actually choose how, you know, we'll come back to our original identity. We'll choose who we actually are in the spiritual world. So we can't really jump into it now. It's dangerous. Sometimes devotees want to do that. Prabhupada warned us against that. It's called sahajism. We just have to be, sometimes they think, well, they think and jump over the head of their spiritual master and just enter into, Braj Rasa. And that's very dangerous. That's called sahajism. And they will never, such a person cannot attain the spiritual world, you see. You just have to be the sold out servant of your spiritual master. We cannot understand the high level teachings of Krishna consciousness by trying to surpass our spiritual master. We simply have to hear, read these wonderful books of Srila Prabhupada. And we should read all of Prabhupada's books, carefully understand them. Because all the truths, the esoteric and exoteric truths of the Vedic wisdom is all perfectly encapsulated in Srila Prabhupada's books. We will simply study them thoroughly and completely and implement them fully in our lives. Then we know for sure and certain that day will come. We will actually regain our original identities in the spiritual sky. But our spiritual master will always be our spiritual master, will always be his eternal servant. In any condition, Prabhupada explains that the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and his disciple lives with him So we forever remain the servants of our spiritual master. That is how we actually are accepted into Krishna's entourage. We cannot directly go that I think I'm a gopi or I think I'm a gopa, so I'm just going to jump into my rasa and forget about my spiritual master. That's completely bogus. Krishna will never accept. Yeme bhakta jana parata, name bhaktas chate janaha. Mad bhakchananche ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear son of Prita, those who are my devotees, not my devotees. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? You want to reestablish your original relationship with the Lord? Don't try to do it directly. Krishna won't accept you. You have to go through the medium of the Guru Parampara, you see. You have to take initiation and become surrendered servant, dedicated for the whole life, for the eternal life actually, dedicated to the spiritual master. And then through the medium of his guru and his guru and his guru, all the way up to Goswamis, all the way up to Krishna himself, then you'll be accepted back into your eternal identity in the spiritual sky. Not jumping over. There's already enough monkeys in Vrindavan jumping over the branches. So don't try to jump over the head of your spiritual master. You always remain the surrendered servant of your Guru Maharaj. We see that Prabhupada did that. They would ask Prabhupada about his eternal identity in the spiritual world. He said, that you do not require. He simply told us about his spiritual master, how his spiritual master saved him in this material existence. So this is the position of the disciple. He's simply interested to be the servant of his spiritual master. And he knows that by the grace of his spiritual master, everything will come. If he simply remains ever dedicated to his spiritual master, all perfections will come by the grace of his spiritual master. Everything will come. He doesn't need to go somewhere else. Just like there's so many acharyas books out there written, you see, by the great. But Prabhupada said, our first business is to read all of his books. See, some devotees, they're going to want to start reading, you know, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, but they don't read Prabhupada's books. It's completely bogus. And they get all these sahaja types of understandings. You read Prabhupada's books thoroughly, every single book. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar Devotion, Krishna Book, Sri Ishapanishad, Easy Journey, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You read every single book that Prabhupada has authored and given to us. That's your first business. Read all of those, thoroughly understand them, completely thoroughly master them. And then you can read other books and you'll properly understand them. If you try to read other books without going through Prabhupada's books, you'll easily be misled and confused, you see, because you're jumping over the founder acharya. Don't try to jump over the founder acharya, you see. Your spiritual masters are telling you, follow them. They're telling you to stick with Prabhupada's books. They're not telling you to leave Prabhupada's books and go running off into this thing and that thing, esoteric things. Prabhupada's books also contain all the esoteric truths, presented in a proper way so we can understand them without being confused or bewildered. Everything, all the esoteric and exoteric truths of the Vedic literature is there in Prabhupada's books. You don't have to go anywhere else. There's so much nectar there. All you have to do is read Prabhupada's books and you become a completely enlightened person. Prabhupada said, simply by studying these books, you become liberated. That's a fact. These books are not simply, some people say, well, these books were just written for the hippies because they couldn't understand the higher level stuff. So now we have to go to the Goswami's literature to get the real high level. This is completely bogus. This is an offense against Srila Prabhupada to think such a way. Prabhupada said these are the blah books for the next 10,000 years. That means it's not just, for the people back in the 60s and 70s who was brand new to Vedic culture. These books are the perfect knowledge, the perfect presentation. This is the most, in the most expert way, even though it's very simply presented. This was the expertise of Srila Prabhupada. In very simple, clear to understand language, he could give the highest understandings of Vedic wisdom, the highest understandings. So don't think, some people say, oh, Prabhupada is simplistic. Well, not very, that's not true. He's not, because he presents things in a simple way, doesn't mean it's simplistic, that it's not really the full picture. It's just some kind of a halfway, immature understanding. It's not true. Prabhupada presented the highest, most advanced understandings of the Absolute Truth in such an amazing way that anybody can read these books sincerely and get transcendental knowledge and enlightenment, you see. That is the real business of the Brahmins. They want to teach everyone how to become Brahmin. This was the downfall of the Brahmins in India. They wanted to make it some exclusive, it's like they say in America, an old boys club, an exclusive club just for the certain clique, you see. And that's why you have the Hindu-Muslim problem in India. Oh, you're low class. Don't let your shadow touch me, you see. That's not the mood of a Brahmin. A Brahmin, he wants to educate. He wants to train. He wants to train everyone how to come to the highest level of understanding. That's the real Brahmin. So because the Brahmins became caste conscious, I'm a Brahmin, don't let your shadow get near me, or you're going to have to go through some heavy atonement for your shadow touching me, you see. So they just became Muslims. What is this nonsense? I'll become a Muslim. Who needs to be a low-class Hindu when I become a Muslim, get a better status in society by being a Muslim, you see. So the Brahmins, the caste-conscious Brahmins, created this Hindu-Muslim problem in India. It was all Indian. It was all Hindus. They were all Hindus. Everyone, all Pakistan, Bangladesh, it says all Hindus, Afghanistan, it was all Hindus. Because the Brahmins didn't do their job properly. They didn't try to train the people, to educate them, to bring them to the higher standard of knowledge, you see. Therefore, all of these problems is there. It all began with Sringi, actually. He's the downfall of the Brahminical community, cursing Maharaj Pariksit. So now, in this Krishna Consciousness Society, we have the golden opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada in creating a real class of Brahmin, you see. A real class of Brahmins who can guide the human society, who can guide the politicians, guide the educators, guide the military, guide the artists, guide the musicians, guide the athletes, guide everyone how to engage in their certain proclivities in such a way that the Supreme Lord will become pleased. So this is the greatest benediction upon the human society, what Srila Prabhupada has done. We should never think, well, Prabhupada didn't present a very... He just gave a little tiny introduction thing. He had to kind of adjust it through Western understanding. He didn't really present the full truth. He kind of, adjusted it a little bit and gave a semi-truth just to attract the people. They compare Prabhupada. Well, he's like Shankaracharya. No, he presented something that was halfway true to attract the people. And Prabhupada didn't do them. Don't think that Prabhupada presented a half-truth to get the people to come in so that gradually, somebody else could come and give the full truth. There was one guru who was saying like them, attracting many people to leave ISKCON. He would say, well, Prabhupada gave a half a truth to attract you, and I'll give you the other half. Completely bogus. It's very offensive to say that Prabhupada only gave half the truth and now somebody else will give us the rest of the truth. That's hati mata offense, a mad elephant offense against the greatest, most empowered Vaishnava in the history of the world. There's no Vaishnava who's ever done what Srila Prabhupada did. And no Vaishnava ever equal what Prabhupada has done. He's the greatest Vaishnavacharya. No one even thought it was possible to take Vaishnava culture and spread it all over the world. Prabhupada's Gaudiya thought it was just some metaphor, a simile, some poetic simile, you know. Priti viti acha yatra nagaradigam sarvatra prachari hoi bhai madanam. In as many towns and villages as there are throughout the world, this Krishna conscious movement will be spread. They thought it was just some metaphor, some flowery language, you see. They never thought it could be literally true, you see. But Prabhupada was the one, the only follower of Srila Bhakti Sanatana Sarasvati Thakur who could understand the actual heart and desire of his spiritual master. He was the only one who could understand. The others completely became wrapped up in quarreling and fighting, you see. They even sold the printing press, which was the dearmost thing of Srila Bhakti Sananta. They sold the printing press to pay the court costs so they could fight it out in the courts who was going to control the Gaudiya Mutt. They sold the printing press, you can imagine. Everything just became a big power grab after Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati left the planet. They completely disobeyed his instructions. He said, after he said, form a GBC and manage conjointly the society, they didn't do it. They just quarreled over who will be the next Acharya, you see. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati did not appoint anyone to be the next Acharya. Next Acharya, his conception was the next Acharya would be effulgent. The one who actually comes out as an Acharya, he will be the Acharya by his own qualities. You can't rubber stamp somebody as an Acharya. They have to be it. They have to manifest it. Then they are Acharya, you see. So Prabhupada was the one who actually manifested himself as Acharya. Fully empowered for making the whole world Krishna conscious, Jagat Guru. He was the one who fully manifested the potency of pure bhakti and empowerment for delivering the whole world. Prabhupada was the only one who actually showed that potency, you see. So we are very, very fortunate to have the shelter of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasada Shishimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Ti Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. We are most fortunate to have His shelter. We should never allow anyone to lure us away with some flowery talk about, you know, being a Braja Gopi or a Braja Gopa. And now your time is to think about being a Braja Gopi or a Braja Gopa. No, you have to go step by step. Step by step through the process. Carefully, step by step. Given by Rupa Goswami. Adau Shraddha. The first thing is you have faith. Tata Sadhu Sangha. Then you associate with the pure devotees. You see it. Tata Sadhu Sangha. Then Bhajana Kriya, you take initiation. And then you become free from the anartas. See, they're not even free from the anartas. They're thinking, oh, I'm a gopi or a gopa. They're not even free from the anartas. And they're dreaming of having some rasa. Now, first you qualify yourself to become completely pure devotee, you see. Then whatever identity you have, that will be revealed automatically in due course of time. Now we focus on becoming free from the modes of nature, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, even the mode of goodness. We have to transcend. We have to become free from these modes of nature. We are contaminated. We are diseased for millions and billions of lifetimes. We've been caught up in the false identity. One false identity after another false identity. And we are still very proud and puffed up. We still haven't learned how to become humble. So let us learn actual humility. Let us learn how to actually worship the spiritual master, how to worship and adore the Vaishnavas. Let us learn how to actually become pure in our hearts, you see. Then everything will become revealed. Krishna will personally reveal himself. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself so that you can see Krishna face to face. We're all meant to come to that standard. We're all meant to come. So we have to follow the standard process. Have faith, associate, take initiation, get the purification, become fixed up, develop that taste for the holy name, become attached to Krishna, solidly attached to Krishna, and then all of the, and then everything will come. We must follow the process step by step. Don't try to jump ahead. Follow the process step by step. If you're a sick man in the hospital, don't try to eat the diet of a healthy man. If the doctor has put you on a restricted diet, you have to follow that diet. Otherwise, your disease will get worse. So we have rules and regulations in sadhana bhakti. We have to follow them. There was one guru in Austin, so-called guru, he had a big ashram. He was preaching Raganuga Bhakti. Then forget sadhana. His beginning point was, okay, Raganuga Bhakti. That's what he was teaching. That was the official message at his temple. And then later it was found out he was meeting with some of the young girls and he was having some sexual relationships with some of the young girls, the daughters of his disciples. He'd have them in for private darshan. He would have sexual relationships with them. And they kept it quiet for many years, but then they finally realized, now they were just like 14 at the time. When they got older, they realized how this Swamiji had been, what a rascal he was. They reported him and to the police, and he was sentenced to like 40 years in prison. But he skipped the country. He snuck away so he wouldn't have to serve the time in jail. And this is Raganuga Bhakti, you see, teaching Raganuga. So these type of sahajit people, who they just want to jump to Raganuga, you see, we have to avoid them. This is not pure to artificially jump to the, try to jump to Raganuga without going through the proper steps of sadhana. We have to be very careful. Even in our ISKCON society, some people are preaching this Raganuga stuff, you see. When we're not even qualified. Those who actually achieve it, they don't talk about it. Those who actually become qualified, you would never know. They're just good, they do good sadhana, that's all. Those who are actually qualified, they don't talk about it, you see. The people who talk of Raganuga, you see, they're sahajas. They have somebody in Narta still in their hearts. The real those who've actually achieved Raganuga, they don't talk about it. Just you say, well, he's really fixed up in sadhana. He loves kirtan, he's fixed up in sadhana, he's very respectful to all the devotees, he's very humble, you see. And the person who's actually achieved these higher levels, he will never talk about it, never reveals it to anyone. It's completely confidential, you see. So anyway, we're very fortunate that Prabhupada has given us this process. Now I'll go over the questions. What does it mean to be a transparent medium? That means you don't add to or subtract from what you have received. Transparent medium means Krishna can fully act through you. Just as Krishna fully acts through the deity, which is actually material energy. Krishna, the transparent medium, the spiritual master, is like a deity. Therefore, we treat him as good as God because he is like a deity. Even though he's a jiva soul, because he doesn't have any ulterior motives, he's just purely passing on to you what he has received from his spiritual master without changing the message. That's called transparent medium. What knowledge do we need in order to find a spiritual master? You need to know a bona fide spiritual master by studying Srila Prabhupada's books. It's summarized in many ways in different places. The very nice verse in the Mundaka Upanishad gives us a very good understanding of how to find a spiritual master. The verse goes, Tadvaganartam sugurum eva bhikachet samit panahi shrotiyam brahmanishtam. If you want to know the highest truth, you must go to a spiritual master. Who is a spiritual master? That person, Shrotiyam, Brahmanishtam. He is heard and he is purely transmitting. He is heard as it is, the Shruti, the Vedic wisdom, and he's repeating it as it is without any adulteration. That's Shrotiyam. Brahmanishtam means he's fixed in Krishna. He's solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. His every thought, his every word, his every deed, 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, is Krishna conscious. That's a spiritual master. Is Krishna simultaneously in Goloka in many universes? Yes. Krishna is simultaneously in Goloka in many universes displaying pastimes. That's right. What will our relationship be with our spiritual master when we return to the spiritual world? You'll still be his servant. He'll still be your spiritual master. If we know Krishna's pastimes, can we forget him at the time of death? If you really know him, no, you won't. If you really, really know Krishna's pastimes, you'll definitely remember Krishna at the time of death. Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you please comment about the relationships we have in the material world, such as our parents, teachers, husband and wife, and do we have a relationship with the same people eternally in the spiritual world? Well, it depends. If you all go back to Godhead, you will definitely remember. If you were devotees, parents, teachers, husband and wife here, and you all go back to Godhead, you'll remember that. Prabhupada gives an example in one letter. Just like Narada Muni was remembering his previous life when he was a conditioned soul, he remembered it. Even though he's liberated Narada Muni, he can remember his previous life when he was the maidservant's son, his mother was bitten by the snake. He remembered all the details. Prabhupada said, in the same way, we will remember in the spiritual world our devotional activities here. Just like we can remember, we remember this night we had here, this gathering. Just imagine we could all be in Goloka Vrindavan and this cowherd boys, cowherd girls, flutes, butterflies, cows, calves, whatever. All the help, part of Krishna's pastimes. Remember, yeah, we remember this night we had in Lanesia, we discussed all this stuff. It'd be perfect remembrance, you see. A liberated soul has perfect knowledge, you see. He's not forgetful, he remembers everything. So we'll be able to remember these things. But if you don't go back to Godhead, forget it. It's just like sticks in the ocean. And if Prabhupada actually, one devotee, Jagopal Prabhu, he was killed in an automobile accident. And Prabhupada told his wife, he is waiting for you in Vaikuntha. So it is possible. Now, it doesn't mean you must necessarily be husband and wife in the spiritual world. You could be two cowherd girls or two cowherd boys, you know. You may not have the same relationships, but you can remember your previous relationships as devotees on this planet. But as far as God brothers and God sisters, those things are eternal. You see, we in ISKCON, that we're all Prabhupada's followers, but we have different subunits within Prabhupada's family. We have the devotees of Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, there's my disciples, you know, so many. So everyone will remember, we'll all know who our guru is in the spiritual world also. That will not be forgotten. Because we were initiated here. Remember how we got initiated, how the spiritual master saved us. All those things we remember when we go back to Godhead. I remember how Vishnu Jamaraj attracted me to become a devotee of Prabhupada. I remember all those things. And I'll be able to see Vishnu Janamaraj in the spiritual world. You remember how George Harrison attracted me to Krishna's holy name? I'll be able to even see where he is in the spiritual world. Maybe playing a sitar, I don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between religion and spirituality? Well, nowadays that's a big thing in the media. that religion is bad and spirituality is cool. And that's now the buzzwords in the media now, you see. Religion is bad, but spirituality is cool, you see. They think religion is like, you know, the Muslims wanting to kill the Christians and that's how they blame religion now for the wars, especially since 9/11, you know. Religion is really on the chopping block for being the cause of so much conflict in the world, you see. But that's because they don't understand what real religion is. I mean, people are so uptight about this issue that in thought for the day, I mentioned Islam literally means obedience to the will of God. So the concept of Islam is very nice. But many people became very disturbed that I say such a thing. How you can... Because they think I'm saying the so-called Islamic people are actually pure, which I'm not saying. See, the Muslims are not pure, the Hindus, no, nobody's pure. That's the reality. Everybody's polluted with material desires. The Hindus, the Christians, the Jains, the atheists, everybody. The whole material world is a dirty, contaminated place. But those persons have actually understood what real religion means, pure bhakti, you see. They've become the true spiritualists. In the highest sense, religion and spirituality are one and the same. Unless you're religious, you're not spiritual. Unless you're religious means to be relinked with God. You can't be spiritual unless you're religious, actually. That's the fact. But their conception of religion is completely bogus. What religion do you belong to? When I was a kid, I was raised as a Protestant, Presbyterian church. And I was taught that the Catholics, who were also Christians, were going to hell. I actually believed as a little kid because my parents taught me them. It was so bad that my little next door neighbor, Joni, was my next little girl named Joni, about the same age as me. I remember it distinctly, and one day I told her, you know, Jesus doesn't love you. Because she was Catholic, you see. I mean, it's so ridiculous, you know. And that's how I was trained as a kid. So this kind of stuff is going on. I know darn well that people are being trained all over the world. They're being trained this sectarian, completely garbage, complete total garbage. And they call it religion. So I don't blame people for being disgusted with religion because it's been totally badly perverted and polluted by the preachers, the rabbis, the imams, all of them. The Brahmins also in India. Everybody's polluted it. I don't blame it. That's why we need somebody like Prabhupada to just set everything straight and can come in and completely overhaul the whole religious world, you see, and the whole material world. So anyway, Hare Krishna, Maharaj. That's all, but there's no question. Yeah?
I was saying, so those who are taking spirituality versus religion, how spiritualized they are?
They're Mayavadis. The people who talk about spirituality, they're under the Mayavadi conception. They say, well, I don't go to church, but I go to the beach on Sunday morning and I meditate and I chant Om and watch the sunrise. You see. Those are the ones who are into spirituality. Or I go climb a mountain, you know, and meditate on the beautiful mountains, and that's my spirituality, you see. Virat Rupa worship. So we really have to... I just gave a program recently in Russia, and there's a very nice devotee there preaching. He presents Krishna consciousness as spirituality, not as religion. That's very intelligent. That's the way to do it, because spirituality is considered cool. Religion is considered bad by young people, especially nowadays. So present Krishna consciousness as the perfection of spirituality. This is the way to do it, you see. And that's what he does. I went to the program, it was so packed, people couldn't even fit in the room. We had people out in the hallway, you know, sticking their head through the door to try to hear the lecture because the room was so packed with people. So it's a very good way to preach, especially to the young people. spirituality, you see. Talk of spirituality. Yeah, you got to be spiritual now, you know. You really want to be happy, you got to become spiritual. Because, you know, and, you know, we all, there's something beyond this material energy, you know. And this way you preach to them. There's something beyond this material energy. This material energy is not all there is. There's something beyond it. Don't you sense it? Don't you intuitively feel it? You see, in this way, they say, yeah, that's cool, man. And that makes sense. You see, and there's a really, and the ancient sages have given us a very powerful way we can be connected with that spiritual plane. It's called mantra yoga, you see. A very powerful way. And you just connect with a, there's special sound vibrations which are not of this material world, which are, which have been the, been brought by great sages into this, from the spiritual plane into this material plane. And all you have to do is meditate on these sound vibrations. This is the highest level of meditation. You just meditate on these transcendental sound vibrations and it'll carry you into that spiritual plane, you see. And we're going to have a session tonight, and we'd like you to come and join us. We're going to meditate together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In this way, you see, presented as spirituality, not as some religion. Yeah, we want you to become a Hindu. I didn't join this movement to become a Hindu. Hare Krishna, can you please discuss how it is that we all left the spiritual world if we had everything we needed? Why did we leave? It's a pretty damn stupid thing we did. Well, you know, the parents told this little boy, they said, Anil, you know, don't, whatever you do, don't stick your hand in the fire. You know, there's a fire in the kitchen there, in the gas stove, right? Whatever you do, don't stick your hand in the fire, Anil. But little Anil, he keeps looking at that flame up there. It's like so, oh, it's so, that blue flame, you know. He always looks at it. He's just, you know, wondering, He's wondering, what? I wonder why they told me that. It's like in the Adam and Eve story, you know, don't eat the forbidden apple, you know. And it's like he gets his curiosity. Everything is okay. He can touch anything he wants in the whole house, but he's not allowed to touch the film, that flame, you see. He goes, well, And he gets curiosity. He keeps growing and growing. What is it? What is it really like? Come on, maybe they're denying me something that I could really, like the ultimate enjoyment. I mean, what's going on here? Why do they say don't do it? And finally, one day, his mother leaves the kitchen and he goes over there and... You see? So it's kind of it's like that in a way. You see? An intelligent child, mother said, "Don't do it," so I don't do it. That's the intelligent child. But he's a little bit foolish, you see, and he may do. So we did them. We stuck our hand in the fire. Prabhupada summarized it very simply. He said, "Misuse of independence." You can't really understand how it's possible, but that's the fact. You misused your independence. And now here you are, you burned yourself. Now it's time to heal and go back home. When one is in school, university, how does one motivate oneself to study mundane ideas so that one can compete it nicely and then serve Krishna fully? Why are you going to school? That's the first thing you got to ask yourself. Why even here? If you don't have a Krishna conscious reason to be there, you shouldn't be there. Really. Why do you go to work? If you don't have a Krishna conscious reason to go to work, you shouldn't go. If you don't have a Krishna conscious reason for doing something, you shouldn't do it. You should stop immediately. You understand? There is a Krishna conscious reason to do these things. I'm not saying you should stop them, but I'm saying you have to connect with why you're doing this. Otherwise, how you can be Krishna conscious while you're doing it? You can't be. You have to know, why am I going to school? Why am I going to work? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, now why he was going to work. You know what he said? She says, I go to work and earn money to maintain Krishna's household. So why do you go to school? For the fun of it? How many people good was good? If you didn't get a degree and you couldn't earn any more money by doing it, how many would just go to school just for the fun of it? Well, I really enjoy it. It's really good. No, you're going to school so you can make more money in the future. Really. So you don't have to dig ditches. Or stand out with the, you know, I'm a plumber over here on the corner. I'm a plumber. Waiting for somebody to come and give you a job, you know. For stability, financial stability, you're getting a college education so you can get a better job. So really, that's all. That's the reason. And why are you getting the job? So you can support a Krishna conscious lifestyle for yourself and for those that you choose to, like you want to get married, your family. You want to maintain a Krishna conscious lifestyle for yourself. Where you have a nice place for your altar and your. You can have a nice home with a place for an altar. You can serve Krishna there. You can have kirtan. You want to have a nice facility. So if you know why you're going to school, why you're going to work, then it's not difficult to remember Krishna. But if you're doing it blindly, I mean, I don't see how you can remember Krishna. Blindly, well, I'm supposed to do this. I don't know why, but everybody else does it, so here I am. If you don't know why you're working, why you're going to school, you need to do some serious introspection. Otherwise, how are you going to be training yourself to be Krishna conscious? What happens at the time of death? What if you're at the office and you have a stroke at the office and you die at your workplace? You're not Krishna conscious. And what a great loss. You need to be Krishna conscious wherever you are, 24 hours a day, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Not just at the temple or at home. When you have to always be Krishna conscious. You better train yourself to be always Krishna conscious. You've got to know why you're doing whatever you're doing. If you don't know why, you better talk to some senior devotee to help you figure out why you're doing it in a Krishna conscious way. You understand these points? Okay. Does Krishna feel disappointed with us for leaving him? Krishna is very much in distress, actually. His beloved children have run away from home. Yeah. How does he love us? How does he still love us unconditionally? Because he loves you so much, yada, he comes here regularly to rescue you. He sends his representatives. He acts in so many ways through his pure devotees, through the bona fide spiritual masters. In so many ways he's acting within your heart. He's there as the super soul. He has not left you. He's been coming. How many of you, if your friend got arrested and went to jail, would go with him to keep him company in jail? Nobody. Even if somebody's spouse gets arrested, how many people would go to be in jail with their spouse? I might go visit him once a month. But Krishna is so kind that he's coming with us through all these prison cells we're in, the 8,400,000 different types of prison cells. And he accompanies us in each in this prison house of material existence through all 8,400,000 types of prison cells. He's been accompanying us as the super soul since time immemorial. That's how much he loves us. And how do we overcome our depression at having left him? Well, go back to him. That's all. Go back immediately. If you take up this mood of pure bhakti, you'll be living in the spiritual world immediately. Prabhupada said that deathlessness begins from the very moment, the very day of initiation. You actually achieve immortality the moment your spiritual master hands you your beads. You achieve immortality at that moment if you follow the instructions he has given you, don't deviate. If you follow his orders, your immortality began from that very moment you got the beads. Which books must I read to gradually make nights? Read all of Prabhupada's books. I gave a list a few minutes ago. Everyone. All the books that... The other books are good too, the compilation books. But the main thing is the books that Prabhupada himself personally authored. Sri Ishapanishad, Easy Journey, he wrote those in India. He came here with the Bhagavatam. And then he did the Bhagavad Gita, and the Krishna book, nectar of devotion, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, nectar of instruction, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also, he wanted perfect questions, perfect answers, life comes from life. These are all books that Prabhupada wanted to be printed. Either he wrote them or he instructed them to be printed. Specific books under his orders. These are the most important books to read. What are the gates to hell in this? What are the gates to hell in this material life? Sex life. Therefore, tapasa brahmacharena. You must become brahmacharis. Everyone brahmacharis. Vedic culture. Everyone brahmacharis. If you're a married man, that means you only have sex for producing Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, you practice celibacy within married life. You see, we have five kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari brahmacharis, brahmacharini brahmacharis. We have grihastha brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmacharis, and sannyas brahmacharis. We are a whole movement of brahmacharis. Brahmacharis ki jai. You see, those who practice celibacy. One who has sex life only to make his wife pregnant, he is a perfect brahmachari. You see. One who has sex life for recreation, he's just gone through the gate to hell. Okay, thanks Maharaj. Thanks a lot for your clarification on depression yesterday, making me feel better. Yes. I can help you become completely free from depression. No more depression. For all of eternity. God is controlling everything, so how am I responsible? Well, God is giving you two options. He's giving you within his supreme control, he's giving you the option. Do you want to serve the material energy or the spiritual energy? And letting you choose. Even though he could control you, but he doesn't want robots. Who wants to associate with robots? You see? God doesn't want to associate with robots. So he gives everyone the free will to choose to love him or leave him. What are the tasks of the devotee family? Raise your children to become pure devotees. You become pure devotees, raise your children to become pure devotees. That's the real meaning of a devotee family. What makes the soul happy? Anandamaya vyasa. The soul is by nature happy. By his very nature, the soul is happy. So just be yourself. Stop trying to be this material body, which is not you. Just be the pure spirit self, servant of Krishna, who you really are, and you'll always be happy. What makes Krishna happy? Krishna is happy when his devotees become happy. He wants to see how much you are advancing in Krishna consciousness. That's what makes him happy. In what form can one love Krishna? In all the forms. Krishna has unlimited. He has unlimited ways you can love Krishna. He's there in his name, Nama Prabhu. He's there in the deity. He's there in his pastimes. He's there in his qualities. He's there in the spiritual master. He's there in the heart of all living entities. You can love Krishna in unlimited forms. What is complete knowledge? Complete knowledge means to know what is the material nature, what is the spiritual nature, and who is the controller of both. That is complete knowledge. When chanting Hare Krishna, what are the stages of realization of a living being? Shraddha, Tarasanga, Vajana Kriya, Anartana Vitti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prem. Those are the stages. First, you have faith in the name, faith in the process. You associate with the pure devotees who are chanting the names purely. Then you take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master. Then you become free of your unwanted habits. You become fixed, firmly fixed in bhakti. You develop a taste for the name. You become totally attached to the name. Then the ecstatic emotions arise within the heart, and finally, in the ultimate stage of prema, you have constant, uninterrupted, personal loving exchanges directly with Krishna. How to avoid becoming proud of one's devotional service? Seek out those. Actually, in Bombay, one devotee gave a class. He said, if you find a devotee who always criticizes you, move in with him. Don't avoid your critics. You should see who is correcting me for my mistakes. That you should find out who are those devotees who correct me for my mistakes. Associate with them as much as possible. Those devotees who point out my mistakes, what's wrong with me, let me find those devotees and associate them as much as possible. How can one ask forgiveness for offenses caused due to ignorance or selfishness? Please forgive me for any offenses I've committed due to ignorance or selfishness. Pretty simple. How do we stay steady through all varieties of circumstances? Good japa, early in the morning is possible, ideally before sunrise. That's the real secret. Good japa as early as possible every day. I've had disciples who had a hard time chanting japa. I gave them a special order. I said, you can't eat anything until you finish 16 rounds every day. And it really helped them. I'm not saying you have to do that, but this particular devotee, it helped him. It saved him, actually. Because how many of you have a hard time serving your tongue every day? We have a hard time chanting Hare Krishna. You see? So why don't you... This is something I personally do. That if you'll say, okay, until I finish 16 rounds, I'm not going to take any prasadam. You get those rounds done pretty early. Prasadam is the reward for 16 rounds, you see. I reward myself with prasadam after I chant my rounds. I guarantee you, your japa will get done a lot earlier in the day if you start this program. I'm not saying it's a hard and fast rule. It's just a suggestion. It's up to you. Or you could say, well, Sudhakirti Prabhu said that Prabhupada had said that when he was a householder, he'd do four rounds before breakfast, four before lunch, four before dinner, and four before taking them. But Prabhupada told us, actually, there was an old Prabhupada says that, I don't know if it's true, but I know if it's for a fact, in the Veda base, Prabhupada recommended all the rounds before sunrise. I read that right there in the Veda base. There used to be one that went around ISKCON that if you finish all your rounds by 10 a.m., you have a day free from anxiety. But I never saw that one in writing, but all the rounds before sunrise I've seen in writing in the Veda base. So the idea is, your rounds should be prioritized over anything else you do in the day. If you have to write a paper for school and you have to do your rounds, what will you do first? Do the rounds. Because then you'll know why you're writing the paper, for Krishna. And then you'll do a better job of writing the paper. Always put Krishna first. Even Jesus said that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all other things should be added unto you. Krishna says the same thing. 9:22, Gita. Ananyaschinte yanto mang yejana prayapasate tesham nichabhyuktamam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. I give them whatever they need, Prabhupada said. I deliver to their front door whatever they need. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how can we surrender to Lord Krishna? You surrender to Krishna through the medium of the spiritual master. You have to seek out and take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Take the spiritual master who is Krishna's representative. Take his order as your life and soul. That's how you surrender to Krishna, through the medium of the spiritual master. Best memory with Srila Prabhupada. I always have fun with this one. Actually, I'm always associating with Srila Prabhupada. So that association gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Day after day, week after week, month after year. I'm 40 years now. I've been associating with Prabhupada for 40 years straight. I've been in Prabhupada's association for 40 years. I'm associating with him right now. And this is the sweetest moment right now. Because it gets sweeter and sweeter. It's not like a feast where, you know, you have a strong appetite and you start taking it. Wow, this tastes so good. Wow, wow, wow. And after a while, well, it doesn't taste, I'm not so hungry now. You want some more pakoras? No. I've had enough. But it's not like that. You see, Prabhupada's association, not that, well, I've had enough now. No. The more you get Prabhupada's association, the more, wow, becomes more enlivening. And then you want more, it never becomes satiated with Prabhupada's association. It just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So this is definitely the best memory I have of being with Prabhupada is right here tonight. Because he's definitely here in this room. He's definitely here in my heart. He's here in the hearts of all those of you who are trying to serve him sincerely. So Prabhupada is here very strongly with us tonight. And this is my best memory of Prabhupada, is being here tonight with all of you and talking about Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is it wrong to give financial support to family members when they may be using the money in sinful ways and purchasing meat? I certainly wouldn't do it. I wouldn't want to be a part of that karma. Here's some money, go buy some meat. They might see it as a rejection. The money is, yes, you're darn right, it's a rejection. I reject your sinful act of meat eating. If you want to eat, I'll personally bring you prasadam to your house. I'll cook it. I'll feed you personally in prasadam. I love you so much. I'll come to your house and I'll cook prasadam for you and feed you. But I won't give you one penny for meat. Not one rand I'll give you for meat. Show me you love them. Go and cook for them prasadam. And show them how much you love them by not giving them one rand for meat. That's what I would do. How are we doing? How's the stack doing?
It's the last one.
We have a lot more?
Nice.
This is the last one. Okay, good, because our time is running out. We got to get ready. I have to do some puja tonight after this lecture. How does one get the mercy of Sri Radha? This is incorrect. Of Sri Radhe. That's not correct. That's grammatically incorrect. She is not Sri Radhe. She is Sri Radha. Radhe is when you call out to her. When you call out to Radha, you say Radhe. That in Sanskrit, that is called the vocative form. If I speak of her, I call her Radha. If I call out to her, I call her Radhe. That's called the vocative form. Just like Hara. We call her Mother Hara, we address Haray to call out to her in the Hare Krishna mantra. So how does one get the mercy of Sri Radha, not Sri Radhe? You just have to beg for it, that's all. My dear mother, Prabhupada told us how to get Radharani's mercy. My dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. That's what Prabhupada told us to pray to her. You see, Radharani, she's the number one devotee, you see. No one can please Krishna like her. So, Prabhupada said, if you will call, if you will pray to Radharani, my dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. Then Radharani, she's very soft-hearted. She immediately say, oh, Krishna, just see, he's this devotee, he's a better devotee than me. And then Krishna will notice, you see. So you beg Mother Radharani, my dear Mother Radharani, please tell about me to Krishna. Put in a good word for me with Krishna that I'm trying to be his devotee. You see, you beg Radharani to help you connect with Krishna, and she will do. Okay. What are the symptoms of an advancing grahastha, husband and father? Advancement is described in the Bhagavatam that in three ways. Bhakti parashanu bhavo viraktir. These are the three things. You have increased feelings of love for Krishna, bhakti. You become more and more connected with Krishna in every way, in every situation, through your eyes, your ears, your nose, your sense of touch. In every way, you begin to become more and more aware of Krishna within everything. That there's nowhere where Krishna is not present. You become more and more conscious of his presence within every sensation. Just like somebody just wrote me from Wellington. Bhaktin Haley just wrote me a letter from Wellington, New Zealand, where the wind is always blowing. She said, hello from the, or she said, Hari Bol, or whatever, from the windy Wellington. I said, take it as a great blessing, because Krishna says, the purifiers, I am the wind. This is what you can, whenever that wind, you feel that wind, the Wellington wind blowing on you, you can think, ah, Krishna, you see. So in this way, just learn how to connect with everyone. Whenever you drink water, it's like we're drinking water, you see. Prabhupada told us, whenever you drink water, if you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately become Krishna conscious. So in this way, the husband or father, he's loving feelings for Krishna's name, his loving feelings for Krishna's devotees, his loving feelings for Krishna's pastimes. All this love is increasing. He's feeling this loving feelings increasing. He's feeling more and more aware of Krishna within everything, within the wind, within the water, within the flower-bearing spring, within the sunrise. In every way, he's feeling more and more reminded of Krishna by everything. Even at work, when he sees his boss, he remembers, ah, Krishna says, I'm the ability in man. This boss is really expert at working me like a donkey the whole day, you see. So he sees, this is Krishna. And the final one, he becomes detached from sense gratification. Okay, just three more here and we're done. Do all living entities go back to Godhead? Eventually, yes. But for some, it's going to be a very, very long, long time. Unless we can somehow convince them to take up this movement. Sometimes we might get caught up in family traditions which have no relevance to Krishna consciousness. Weddings, gatherings, etc. Please help us to give these up. Christ gave a nice point in this regard. He said, let the dead bury the dead. I mean, I more or less detached myself from all this. You know, my uncle just died, and they invited me to come, and they were going to do. He was a military. They had a You can get a military if you're a military. If you're a veteran of the U.S. military, you can request a military funeral for your beloved. So he had been in the army during the Korean War or something. So they requested a military funeral, and they came there to. Now they shoot the rifles in the air, you know, and they fold the flag, and they blow the bugle or whatever, a special little ritual. So that was the excuse I needed, because my ears can't handle the rifle fires. So I had an excuse not to go. I said, well, I wouldn't be able to, I feel bad that Uncle Don has left, and I, you know, my best wishes and condolences, but I'm sorry I can't come because of my ear problem. You know, I always look for an excuse, you know. That's what I always do. I just find a good excuse that doesn't make me look like I'm a total, you know, a rascal. Tactfully, you know, tactfully find work my way out of it somehow or other. Well, you know, I really wanted to come, you know. That's what I do. Tactfully avoid it as much as possible, these mundane things. I mean, you want to keep a good relation because you're preaching to the people, but just tactfully avoid these things as much as you possibly can. I mean, why waste time, you know, with mundane stuff when you could be at the temple having kirtan or going on a book distribution or doing something that's really benefiting the human society? Okay. Should we ever be satisfied with one's service to Srila Prabhupada and his movement having done his or her share? Sure. And the whole world is Krishna conscious. Then we can sit back and say, okay, now I'm satisfied. When every high court judge in every country is wearing Vaishnava tilak, and the flag of Hanuman is flying from every parliament building, you got the idea. When the whole world has finally taken up Vaishnava culture, we can say, okay, now I'm satisfied. But until then, you better be very unsatisfied. That's all I can say. If you're satisfied right now, then you got a demoniac nature you got to overcome. You should be very, very disturbed to see the slaughterhouses, the abortion clinics, and all this garbage going on. Darwinism, Stephen Hawking-ism. You should be very disturbed by all of this stuff. And you should be dedicated to make a revolution on this planet. And when finally the whole planet has been saved and everybody is Krishna conscious, then you can become satisfied. Until then, you must be very, very dissatisfied. One man saw me in the guard, and you know, they frisk you in the Delhi airport before you get on the airplane. So the man said he saw I was a devotee. He was really happy to see a Westerner, you know, taking up Vaishnava culture. Saw the tilak, and he said, "Oh, you're taking up Krishna. How do you feel?" He said, "How do you like this?" And I said, "How does it make you feel?" I said, "Completely miserable." Anyway, because I see so many of this whole world of people who are not Krishna conscious. And he got a big, huge smile. Oh, I thought that was so wonderful. You know, there's someone who actually cares that he really feels compassion that people are not Krishna conscious. He was so happy to hear that answer. He was shocked at first because he thought I would say, "Yeah, I feel really great." And I said, "I feel completely miserable." He was, but then he kind of became even more happy to hear how I answered it, you see. So you should be completely miserable, totally miserable, until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, and then you can become happy. But that misery, if you feel, I'm wrapping it up now because this is the last thing. You may say, "How can you say this, Sankarshan Prabhu? This sounds completely bogus." But no, I can back it up with Prabhupada's statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm not pulling this out of the air. It's not word jugglery. Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya is in great anxiety to see the suffering souls, and they need a devotee who will take part of this anxiety and share it with Lord Chaitanya. He becomes very pleased with that devotee. So when I'm telling you to become miserable, I'm saying you should share the anxiety of Lord Chaitanya. You should try to feel that anxiety also yourself. And then he will shower his mercy upon you like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. So we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
I'd like to thank all the devotees for coming today. And I'd like to thank Shankarshar Raj as well for the lovely class. And I think the association for all these years, it's something that we heed. They say we can see scripture, hear scripture to our ears. So we're so fortunate in a sense of having this association and this instruction. And hopefully it changes our life more closer to Krishna. So I'd like to thank Shankarshar Maharaj for blessing us and giving all the blessings to everybody. So use the association while they are here, because they travel the world. And, you know, we are fortunate in Indonesia to have the association. You know, they say fortune favors the brave. So those of you who are here today, you're fortunate and you're brave.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.